tuning in to Art and Business and Murals, a podcast about running a small creative business with interviews, artist stories, and industry tips. I hope this podcast keeps you company on what can sometimes feel like a solo journey.
Hey, so on this episode, I've got Mandy. You've got to tell me your last name because I always get it wrong because it's very long.
Yeah, it's Schöne Salter, which is a German and Australian last name.
And we'll leave that to you to figure out how to spell it. No, I'll put all this in the bio. Everyone will figure it out from there. And I need to say that we're on the last day, or no, we're the day after a 2-week residency in Thailand. So I think we might sound a little rough and maybe not the most eloquent because it's been a very intensive artist residency. And we're also sitting in the outdoor lobby of our hotel, which is on a main road. So it's going to be great production value. How are you feeling after 2-week residency?
I'm feeling like I'm amazed by everything. You know, I feel like I need another 2-3 weeks to process everything that happened. I'm exhausted too. But yes, it was definitely worth being here, meeting lots of amazing artists and working on, beautiful projects. So,
yeah, but I think we could both do with some extra sleep.
Too much partying.
Yeah, oh, no, too much creating. No, not enough drink. No, I'm kidding.
That's right.
So did you want to give us an introduction as to who you are and what your background is and what you do and all that jazz?
Yeah. So, I'm Mandy and I'm a German born artist who's moved to Australia 20 years ago. And I've been working in the arts for maybe 15 years. I started with photography and I love photography and I really appreciate the art form, but it felt very limited to me. And then I discovered street art and paste-ups, using my photographs in a public space. And yeah, from there it sort of snowballed into becoming a mural artist now.
Yeah, and now you do these massive, big, beautiful floral stencil style types of works, don't you?
Yeah, very much inspired by nature. I'm just moving to Australia. I discovered all the Australian wildflowers and I was just amazed how beautiful they were, the colors and the shapes. Some of them look like they're from another planet. And it just gave me so much joy that I wanted to share that with everyone. So I decided to paint them really large.
Yeah, we were talking earlier this week, and I think in Australia in particular, it's very common, particularly for councils to be like, here, we need a mural here, use the local flora and fauna. And then all the artists come in and they're like, I'm using a wattle because it is a local flora. Whereas I feel like you dig deeper than that. Like I feel like you were saying that you're an outdoor type person and you go on walks and you find flowers and you research. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. So there's, there's the wildflowers that everyone knows, like the waratah, for example, or the acacias. And, but the one thing I noticed when you go on a walk into the bush, a lot of the wildflowers are really small and you easily walk past them. And that sort of triggered in my head that I should paint them really big so people actually look at them properly and maybe hopefully when they do go for a walk, have a look and just look a bit closer and find some.
Yeah. I love that idea that you take the little flower and you blow it up massive on these buildings. That's such a great idea. So what do you think are the greatest challenges working as a creative artist?
I think just running your own business, no matter what kind of business it is already very challenging in itself. As a creative, I feel like, you know, all the stuff that's behind the scene that no one sees, like updating your websites and social medias, applying for grants and jobs, doing your tax, doing the research, all of that no one sees. All people see is the end product. But, you know, that requires so much work and time that it can be challenging, especially if you have family to also look after at the same time as a mother. And yeah, and then of course the financial burden, you know, to not burden.
Well, it does feel like a burden sometimes, doesn't it? The how am I going to pay the mortgage next week burden.
Yes, there's a lot of pressure to make it work. Once you make that step that I want to be a professional artist, you have to make it work. I mean, there's always other options, of course. You can go back to doing a normal job, whatever that means. But I think sometimes that actually, to me, was the drive to make it work, to, you know, just not fail in that sense. Yeah, but that's all very challenging. They're all very.
Do you ever have dreams? Lately, I've been having dreams that I have to go back to like a grown-up full-time graphic design job. And my dream, like in my dream, I'm like putting on like a corporate outfit and I'm feeling like this, oh, I don't want to go back to a grown-up job. Do you ever have those nightmares or is it just me?
No, I actually haven't thought about this. I'm so focused on my work and making it work that I haven't had a time to think about that. I have started though, because it's very challenging at the moment finding work, and with the rising cost of living in Australia, I have started helping my friends in my friend's pizza business, just, you know, a couple of days here and there. And that's been nice. I actually enjoyed doing something totally different. I've never worked in a pizza shop before. And it's a nice feeling too that I can, if it's a quiet time, that I can go somewhere and do a little bit of work and get some money in. But yeah, otherwise, really every moment and goes into the art process and the art business.
When you told me that the other day and you just mentioned that occasionally you work in the pizza shop, I often, like, I look at baristas and I get a little bit jealous that they go to their shift, they do their work, they go home and they don't have to think about their shift again. Whereas when you run your business, you're constantly thinking about it. And I thought to myself, I was like, I wonder if working in the pizza shop is like a rest where you don't have to reply to emails. You don't have to take phone calls from clients. I'm making business sound really bad. I don't mean to, but sometimes it's nice to have a break. I think that.
Yeah, I agree. It takes a little bit of pressure off and it's just a nice change because it can be relentless. I mean, I barely have holidays and even on my holidays, I work. It's just never ending. I mean, I love what I do, but especially in a creative business, you need to have a break to collect your thoughts and where do you want to go and what you might want to change. And if you're always doing things, you don't have time to think about these little important questions that you have to ask yourself. So that's sort of the challenge there.
Yeah, I 100% agree. If you're not giving yourself that thinking time, how are you going to come up with something conceptually really well thought out and you're constantly churning? I think it's a weird balance to find, isn't it?
Yes.
I like how when I told my clients I was coming to Thailand for 2 weeks for an artist residency and I wouldn't be, you know, all over work like I usually am, everyone said, "Have a great holiday." And I was like, yeah, no, this is a holiday. This is more intensive than usual.
Yes, I've had that too, actually.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, enjoy.
So what do you think would be your greatest achievement in your career so far?
I think my greatest achievement is that I'm very grateful that I actually can work as an artist. I have been for the last 8 years as a full-time artist that, you know, I can support my family through that. And that to me is my greatest achievement. I never thought that I could do it, that it's going to work. So I'm, super grateful.
And do you mind if I mention that you have 3 boys? So it's you and 4 men in the house.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. So you brought up 3 boys as well as running a business. So here's me with 1 child going, oh, it's so hard.
Yes. Yeah. I think I have a very supportive husband. He's also an artist and a musician, and he understands what is required to start a business like that and to run it. And because he works from home and my job requires me to travel a lot, it's just perfect, a perfect arrangement. And yeah, so I actually owe him a lot for that support.
Yeah, it's really helpful when you've got a good partner that works and you work well as a team.
Yeah.
For both of us being here in Thailand and our families are still holding down the fort back home.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So this is a question that's a bit not on my sheet of questions. You were talking about your greatest success in being that you were able to, you know, work for yourself and support your family. What do you see as a successful artist? Like, what in your eyes means success?
So we all define success differently. And yeah, as mentioned, being able to work in a job that's like my dream job is a big success. And people actually enjoying the work I do and appreciating it, that's also to me success. Yeah, so I don't measure it on income or what big projects I've made. It's more like I can do what I love, and that's amazing. Yeah.
So does that mean that it's more like a feeling, like you connect with people and that is success?
Yeah, it's definitely the relationships, the people I meet, and just being able to do what I love. Because when I was young, I did a lot of different jobs and I was so unhappy because it wasn't me. It wasn't what I wanted to do and what I enjoyed. So to actually finally now do something that, yeah, it just gives me so much joy. I can't put it into words. I just love it. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, the big question, how do you find new clients, projects, work, all those bits and pieces?
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I'm just doing like what everyone else does, apply for call-outs, make connections. So if you do get a job, do it really well. Put an extra effort in to, you know, show a personal side of yourself as well, because people connect with that and they remember you for that. And it's not easy for everyone, but I do recommend that's a big one, because everyone wants to work with someone they like and enjoy, and and they're on time and they do what they say. And I'm very much like that. And especially when you start off, you know, the end product, even if you're not really happy with it, but if you've made that connection with people and you leave a positive resonance, is that what you call it? A positive feedback or something, then they'll recommend you and they'll talk about you. So it's like a, yeah, like the domino effect again. Just do the best you can on all levels, not just on the art level, but also on the personal level. And then, yeah, it's so basically what I wanted to say, it's a mixture of applying for jobs and call outs. So I would say that's 50%, and the other 50% is over the 8 years of my art practice, I've made these connections with people and they recommend me, or they send, you know, applications, or they just ask me, can you come and do this job? Mm. So it's like 50-50 at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, coming into this residency, you know, all the artists were all such a friendly bunch. And we're all lovely. Everyone is lovely. Everyone is insanely talented. But there's a small part of me that just kind of watches how all the artists work. And I knew that you were coming. You're from Australia. And there's a couple other Australians here. And I've always got in the back of my head that I want to work on bigger projects with more artists. And so I'm like, okay, well, we'll check Mandy out. We'll, you know, see if she's, you know, reliable and efficient and easy to work with. Are we on the same page? We work the same way. And the thing that I love the most about you is that we work very similarly, but would say, okay, we'll meet you 8 o'clock, we'll leave. And at 8 o'clock on the dot, both our doors open of our hotel rooms and we're ready to go. And that's what I, to me, that's really important, because I've had artists' assistants show up to jobs hours late or not show up at all or cancel the day before. Or so for me, reliability is one of the major things that I look for in artists. And it's just like you said, you know, putting your best foot forward gets you more jobs. Not that I can get you jobs, but I would like to work with you. Yeah.
Yes, but it is absolutely important. And you've always got to just put yourself into the shoes of the other person. You know, how would you like it? If you are running a project and you want people to come and help, you know, what would you prefer? And it's good communication, and being reliable is the big one.
Yeah, that's it. So apart from the residency that has just finished yesterday, what are you working on?
When I get back to Australia, I have a few little projects. So I work quite closely with the Department of Education in New South Wales, and they have a program called Mural in a Day. So if you're interested, if you live in New South Wales and you're interested in working with schools, they're always looking for people, and they're a really lovely team as well. So I'll be going to Kempsey and I'll be painting a mural with the kids there. I've got about 3 years ago, I painted a wall in my hometown, Katoomba, in a laneway. And that wall got absolutely tagged, and which is, you know, fair enough. It's public space. It belongs to everyone. But the council has asked me to repaint it, to paint something new on it. So I'll be painting again over all the tags that were on there. We'll see how long that lasts.
Are you going to anti-graph it pretty heavily, or are you just going to let it be?
I don't know. I feel like I understand when people want to put an anti-graffiti coat on it to protect it. But just coming... So I'm from the 90s, and that's where the graffiti scene was pretty big in Germany. I don't know about Australia. I imagine so too. And there is like public space, it's for everyone. And there is a bit of a respect thing going on. Obviously, you know, the youngsters don't understand that very much, you know, that they painting when they paint over my work, but I feel like it's not my wall. I'm just painting on it. So if someone else feels inspired by by what's there and they want to add, or which that person did, they added things to the mural, beaks and bums, basically. That's what it says on it. Yeah, because I painted a Waratah, and those inside bits, I forgot what they're called. Yeah. They look a bit like a bum, and then they added beaks on it as well. It's quite hilarious. It does look like a girl did it, which is good. So I feel like it's an ever-changing landscape, and I actually like that about street art. It shouldn't be a museum necessarily. And I like that ever-changing nature, because we become sometimes blind to it. If you look at a mural every day as you drive to work for 5 years, you don't see it anymore. It becomes invisible. But if it changes, it stimulates and you look.
That's a really good point. I'd never thought about it like that. I get very offended when people tag my murals and then I'm like out there the next day painting back over it or wiping it off. I can't cope.
Yeah. It's a big world and we share it, and I don't mind.
Yeah, I think I get really upset when it's in my own town, like it's when it's in Nambour, and one of my assistants painted a mural there and I helped her on it, and someone's gone and done a massive big red tag over the top, and it's right next to where I do my grocery shopping, so I see it all the time. And I don't know why. They're like, there's blank walls everywhere.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why they would target that one. So I find it extremely frustrating. But I'll attack that probably next week when I get home.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sometimes it's just some angry guys, you know, that live in the town and they don't appreciate what's on the wall. And even though, yeah, it's ugly, it makes it ugly, but they are expressing their voice, their opinion on it. I understand. I have mixed feelings about it too. Personally, on mine, I don't mind so much, but I also understand if someone gets upset about it, because a lot of work and thought goes into that.
Yeah.
It's not just an ugly tag over, you know, on a wall. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. So note to self, you're okay to tag Mandy's walls, but not Sarah. No, I'm kidding.
If you can reach, yeah, you can tag it.
Oh, so who has been your biggest influence in your career?
Yeah. Well, I had to really think about this question. I think it's not one person. It's a lot of people. And it's places too that are inspiring. But I think just having the support was such a big thing from the family. I don't think I could have done this by myself. And inspiration-wise, I don't know, there's so many amazing, beautiful art out there, and I find that a lot of it very inspiring. So I can't really pin it down on one artist. It's, I don't know.
So if you're talking before about the hard things about running a creative business, and you're talking about, you know, the accounting, the tax, the applying for grants, all that kind of stuff that no one sees, how did you figure out how to do all that in the beginning?
Oh, God. I don't know. I just started doing it. I did a grant writing workshop once, and that was quite helpful just for the structure, how to do that. But my husband did a lot of it at the beginning because my English was really bad. Now I can finally do it myself, which is great. But I think if you're just really sincere and clear about your vision and what you're trying to say and the message in your work, it's the rest sort of flows with it and people can feel it and see it. So it's a very tedious, boring process, but I just have a little template. I just always have the same few paragraphs in there and just adjust it to the project, because I have mainly one message, and that is reconnecting with nature. So all my work evolves around that.
With grant writing, I'm the same. I have a template that I've used. It's been successful in the past, and I just change it out and have new goals. But the rest of the stuff, like, do you feel like you made a lot? Like, you know, when we started painting walls, over 10 years ago, like, how did you know what to do? There wasn't even anything on YouTube really when we started painting, and we didn't, like, I don't know about you, but I'm too scared to go down to the train tracks and paint with a bunch of blokes. Like, I just, how did you figure out what to do, or did you just make all the mistakes?
Yeah. So when I started with street art, I did paste ups, and they're very good because you can prepare them at home and they look good. And then all you have to do is just quickly go and put it on. I was always very nervous. So it's just to put them on, I was nervous. But there's this weird sort of starting cycle as a street artist, because you have to show what you've done, the work. But no one is going to give you a wall if you haven't done any work. So you almost have to start doing illegal stuff. You know, I don't really encourage that. But you're almost forced to do that. And so I did all these paste ups, and then I went to Sydney in the day and just found a couple of walls and pasted them up. And through that, I got, you know, people really loved them and they wanted to find out who it is. I never put anything up. I waited until they disappeared, and then I would post it, or because I didn't want to get in trouble. I could just see the headlines, mother of three arrested.
So cool. That would be so cool.
Oh, God. So I think you have to sort of find a way how to start with the whole process. And that's quite, I find that was the hardest part almost. And then people were sort of interested, and then they said, we love your paste-ups, can you do something more permanent? And then you understand that the most logical thing was to go from paste-up to stencils, because it's very similar for what I did. And then I got really sick of the stencils. Just fighting with the pieces of paper in the wind. And anyway, so I just said, that's enough. I'm going to teach myself. Well, basically the whole process was just teaching yourself. Trial and error. Yes, not everything works. I've made big mistakes, which the good thing about it, though, if you use paint, you can always paint over. But yeah, I think you do have to have some big nerves and confidence to go out there and just do it. And yeah, own up to it if you make mistakes. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And you kind of do have to teach yourself, don't you? We did a mural project here in a gallery called Some Space, and you know, Mandy and I are very organized, and we designed our part of it, even though it was a collaboration with multiple people, but they weren't too keen on pre-planning. They just wanted to go with the flow, which neither Mandy or I are comfortable with. But we got to the wall and started painting it. Mandy's like, okay, let's just do the scribble grid. And I was like, okay, well, I know what the scribble grid is, but yeah, no, I'm terrible at it. And she's like, no, just do it. And I'm like, no. But I did it. And with obviously with Mandy's support, me going every 5 minutes, it's not working. It looks like crap. And Mandy going, no, keep going. It'll be fine. But you, I guess as an artist, particularly a muralist, you end up throwing yourself in the deep end in most projects, I feel. Like even now after 10 years, there are still projects I show up to and I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? I don't even, like, this is, what am I doing? Please tell me you feel exactly the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. The last year when I was in Germany and they offered me, I always wanted to paint a huge wall. So that is sort of almost every mural artist's big dream, just like a really big one. So I went to Germany to this street art festival called Secret City. And they offered me this 7-story building. And I thought, yes, you know, sitting in Australia, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Cool. And then I got there and I stood in front of the wall and I just thought, oh my God, what did I do? Why did I say I'm going to paint this?
But you did it?
You did. Yeah, I did. Because, you know, the one thing that, one of my personality traits is if I say I'm going to do it, I do it. I don't, you know, get out of it. It's just, and
sorry.
Yeah, but because I'm scared of heights. So going up 25 meters was very, very challenging. And I have watched people, you know, painting really large murals, and they always start at the top and go down, and which makes sense because there's drips and whatever, and just for the structure of the whole mural. But I was too scared. I had to start at the bottom and work my way up. I just couldn't. It takes about 3-4 days for me to adjust to that height.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. I do not like heights. And except I've never been 7 stories. Like the max I've gone is 13 meters because that's what my ticket's up to. But even then, I just, no. And I've spoken to a couple of other muralists that do large pieces. No one enjoys being up there. And we've talked about how often on jobs and you finish it off and you get to the ground. And I don't know, do you have the same thought? You get off the lift and you're like, yes, I never have to go on that lift again. That was the last time I have to go up. And then the client comes by and I'm like, oh, we're done. Look. And they're like, what about that bit right at the top there? And you go, no. It's meant to be there. Do you have the same thing?
With the really big walls, yeah. So with that wall, actually I came off every day and I was like, oh, yes, I'm finally down. And no, I have to go up there tomorrow again. And it's, I was super happy when that project finished. And it was also very, very tricky to get to the wall for that particular project. So it took me about 15 minutes of navigating this huge boom lift and the arms in a very narrow space, rotating the basket, going like past people's bedrooms. They go like, hi, while they're like lying in bed or on their computer. It's like, woo. That was really funny. And but they were all really lovely in the house too. They sort of gave me ice cream and they fed me and passed water out the window. And I had a chat to some because I was really close to their to their rooms.
If you got offered another 7-story job, would you take it?
Yes, I would.
I think I would too, but only if you did it with me.
If I do the higher parts, yeah.
No, I think working as a team, particularly on larger pieces like that, just takes so much pressure off as opposed to working as an individual.
Yeah, that's true. I would have loved another person up there. It was very lonely. The wall was also facing north. I mean, you know, it's south in Germany, but the equivalent of north in Australia. So I was in the sun from morning till evening and it was summer. So there was so many challenges, and yeah, and just operating such a large machine is quite, there's so many buttons and knobs to twiddle. So, yeah.
So you've got your Working at Heights and Elevated Working Platform tickets in Australia. Do they translate overseas?
So no, they usually don't. So I'm glad I did it here. In Germany, there is a rule that you don't need it. You don't need a ticket for that, working in that, at that height, which I don't understand, because there's so many things that can go wrong. And I was glad that I did it, because it helps with staying focused and not making too many mistakes.
Not donking into too many buildings.
Yeah, exactly. So Germany is surprisingly very easy with that. Whereas I had a job straight after in Sweden. You know, it was only a 4 meter high wall, which is not very high, but they didn't even want to give me a scissor lift because they said I don't have a license to, yeah. So there's different countries, different rules. You just got to work out, you know, what is required before you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good note. I'd never really thought about that until you spoke. So did you have to do that job on a ladder?
They provided a scaffold.
Okay.
Yeah, which I actually don't enjoy at all because it blocks the view of what you're doing. Yeah.
It's so hard to step back and see the big picture, which is what you need to do constantly. Yeah, I hate scaffolding too.
It's not, yeah, I prefer the lifts then, yeah, definitely.
Also, we went up to a temple here in Thailand and they had scaffolding all over the temple and it was painted gold. So I've now made the decision that only gold scaffolding for me. So what's your best bit of advice for other artists?
It really, you've got to keep doing what you love, trust in yourself. And yeah, it's hard. It's a bit of a jungle out there. Try not to compare yourself too much with other artists because your art is unique. It's the voice that comes from within inside you and only you can express that. So be patient, keep doing it. If you really want it, it will happen.
Going on finding your voice, I know that a few of the artists that I'm coaching at the moment have grown up outside of Australia and then come to Australia. Do you think that growing up in East Germany, that's influenced your style now?
Yes, I definitely think so. I think especially the voice part, being voiceless and not being able to express your political view or any sort of concerns has shown me how important it is to live in a country where you can express your opinion in a safe space. So when I started doing all this work, I was actually portraying children and giving them a voice because I feel like they just have to tag along with everything. All the stuff that the adults mess up, they have to, you know, they're the ones who suffer the most and they have no voice. So I was really big on that. And then in Australia, when I moved to the Blue Mountains, I could see that nature also doesn't have a voice. There is a few people who advocate for the environment and I wanted to be one of them as well. So it's about, yeah, giving a voice to those who can't speak is a big part. And yes, it goes back to my roots.
Yeah, I think it's really important that it does and that you don't try and fit into the box of what everyone else is doing. And I think that you do that beautifully. Like your work is stunning. Okay. So where can people get in touch with you? I'll put all these links in the show notes too.
Yeah. Instagram, website, I live in the Blue Mountains, so if you want to paint a wall up there, we have a beautiful street art walk that's open for everyone. You can get in touch with me. I'm always, I'm happy to work with people and give advice, just like you, Sarah. You're amazing. Just helping other artists. Yeah, but basically the usual. Just contact me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for tuning in to the Art and Business and Murals podcast. Please feel free to reach out via email at podcasts@sarahscully.com or follow up the show notes on the website at sarahscully.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends and fellow creatives. I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which I record this podcast, the Gubbi Gubbi people, and I'd like to pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging.